Morning, if you want your child to go to junior church. Otherwise, turn to Exodus chapter 2. We've been going through Proverbs, but just wanted to take this morning and look at lessons from the life of Jochebed for our mothers this morning. And a lot of this applies to dads as well. But let's go to Exodus chapter 2. We've seen the background, the history of this, or the setting of this. Let me get my mic turned on. Might be dead. If it is, I'll make sure I don't. No, there. It's working. Can you hear me now? All right. But the Israelites are in Egypt. They have grown in number from 70 to millions, and here they are. They're being oppressed. Pharaoh says that all the male children are to be killed. And so this is the setting that we find Jochebed and Amram, the parents of Moses, in the setting of Exodus chapter 2. I'm just going to read the first 10 verses and make some application here this morning. Exodus 2, "And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she said she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And her maidens walked alongside the river, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Just want to look at 3 points here in this text and then make application. Shorter service today with the video. By the way, I started out this week, I jumped into Proverbs 8 and I was making great headway. And I woke up sometime in the middle of the night on Tuesday night and I remembered, hey, it's Mother's Day. And so I had to make a little shift there. But going to Jochebed and just looking at this text, the first thing I want to point out is Jochebed protected the best that she could. You know, there are certain things in life that are out of our control, and I understand the sovereignty of God. God is in complete control. He's never out of control. Nothing takes him by surprise. There are things that are out of our control. And here's the situation where Jochebed has no control over what is going to happen. And although there's the sovereignty of God, we do have the responsibility to make choices. But Jochebed protected this child. The government says that all the male children are to be killed, but the text says she hid him for 3 months, and she could no longer hide him, but she protected this child by hiding him, first of all. Then she makes this ark, this basket out of reeds, and she puts pitch on it so it stays afloat, and she puts that baby in the river. Now, moms, don't get any ideas here. You know, as that baby's crying in the middle of the night, to put him in a river in a basket or something. But she hid this child. She protected him. But a point came where she could no longer protect this child. She hid him as long as she could. And at that point, and I don't think she just made this basket without thinking this through. I think she knew that Pharaoh's daughter came down to the river. She knew that this was a habitual thing for her to come down to the river and to bathe. Perhaps she even knew that she is a compassionate woman and that she would see that baby in that basket. But she protected him. And then she sends Moses' sister down there to watch, to wait, to see what happens. And when Pharaoh's daughter sees that child, Right away she says, shall I go and find a Hebrew woman to nurse the child for you? She had a plan. And by God's sovereignty, she's given her son back. Not only has she given her son back, but she's paid to raise him. Can you imagine that? Now, that's a good deal. And again, don't get any ideas. But here, she protected this child the best she could. She hid that child for 3 months when she can no longer hide that child. She puts him in a basket. And can you imagine? Again, you don't know. You might have a plan, but you don't know. And all of this is done, we're going to see in a little bit, it's done by faith. But lessons from the life of Jochebed, she protected the best she could. But most scholars believe that she probably had Moses for about 4 or 5 years from this point on. Okay, so she hides him, she puts him in the river, she gets 5 years with him. And then from this text also, we see that Jochebed made the most of the time that she had. Again, she probably only had him for about 4 or 5 years. And if you track the life of Moses, so the greater part of his upbringing was by an Egyptian woman, by royalty. Pharaoh's daughter takes him, and he's in the best of schools. He's raised as an Egyptian, and he lacked nothing. But we come to the end of the chapter. If we were to read through the end of the chapter, Moses is raised as royalty, as Egyptian royalty. But we walk through chapter 2 and we see him defending and protecting the Hebrew people. Do you think that Jochebed had an influence on that life in those first 5 years? I mean, she made the most of the time that she had. She instilled in Moses truth. In that short 4, 5, 6 years, whatever it was, she instilled truth into that life. Knowing at some point her window of opportunity was going to come to a close. And she'd have to turn that child over to Pharaoh's daughter. Her influence would really come to an end. And again, in Hebrews 11, let's turn back to Hebrews 11 quickly. Verses 24 through 26, we'll read those first. It says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. And did Jochebed have influence on that life in the first maybe 5 years of his life? And by the time this little baby grows up to be a man, he refuses to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And so she made the most of the time she had. And then one other point here is this: Jochebed walked by faith. Back again in Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. She hid him by faith. She made this basket and she placed him in that river by faith. And all of this was done by faith, and she walked by faith. She had to trust God to hide him for 3 months. She had to trust God to place him in the river. She had to trust God to hand him back over to Pharaoh's daughter. And that took faith. Can you imagine how hard that must have been? And she had no control over what was going to happen to that baby when she put him in the river. She had no control when she handed him back over to Pharaoh's daughter. They acted in faith, Jochebed and Amram. And so I'm going to just spend a little time here in application. What can you learn today? What can we learn? And I'm speaking specifically to moms right now, but really all parents this applies to, is what can we learn? Protect the best that you can. You know, you can control what you can control. But as a parent, are there things that you can't control? And there's a lot of things that are out of our control. But control what you can control. You can't control everything. You can't lock your kids up in the yard. We could, but it would probably have a negative impact. But there's certain things that are out of your control, and you can't have your eyes on your kids 24/7, 365 days a year. But control what you can control, and I can't remember if it was in a Wednesday night or maybe a Sunday morning, but Paul, you mentioned, when your kids were at home, you said this, I have the right to veto my kids' friends. Do we have that right as parents? Are there times we need to veto our kids' friends? And control what you can control. And there's times, I remember my son was a follower. He would follow. I mean, if you put him in a group, whoever the leader was, he is going to follow him. There were times where we had to say, no, you're not going here, going with that person because you're a follower. Control what you can control. There's times where you have to say, no, you're not hanging out with that kid. You're not going to run around with that kid. You can control the things that are brought into your home. We need to, as parents, I was reading something this week, I don't know if it's true or not, I think maybe the age is 54, but they say your brain's not fully developed till you're 25, but I'm 53 and I think I'm not there yet. So maybe it's 54. But you have, kids need parents. Sometimes they don't make the best decisions. They need direction. They need guidance. They need you to say, no, you cannot do that. Or you are going to do this. Control what you can control. You can control what you allow in your home to a certain extent. And I know kids are sneaky. But protect the kids to the best of your abilities. And moms, who spends most of the time with their kids? Mom or dad? Usually it's the mom that is with the kids most of the time. And generally speaking, moms have a greater influence. You need to be on the ball. Control what you can control. Remember, you're the parent, not the friend. Now in the video, and I watched these several times because I was trying to put this video together. But I heard a couple of your kids say, you're my mom, you're my friend. And that comes, doesn't it? But when you're raising that child, and it comes as you guide and direct them, and as they mature, they become your friend. But your job as a parent is to be a parent, not their friend. You don't need to be the coolest mom around. You're there to guide, you're there to direct. And friendship will come later in life. Your job is to make your kids, not to make them happy, but to guide them to be holy, to love the Lord. Now, I remember I was in high school. I was either a junior or senior in high school. And I probably have shared this story before, but I had a buddy call me and he said, hey, you want to come into Grand Rapids? They're playing hockey at a rink that night. I said, come in, play hockey and stay at my house. And then the next morning he wanted to do something, and so I said, well, I'll ask my mom and dad. So I said, hey, can I go to Dave's house? We're going to play hockey, and then I'll stay at his house, and we're going to go do something in the morning. And the answer was, Dave who? So I told him, and they said, well, we don't know Dave or his parents. So no, you can go play hockey, but rink closes at 10, you'll be home at 10:30. And so I was like, good grief, this is ridiculous, you know. So I didn't say that because I would have been in some serious trouble. But I was thinking it because my parents were, they weren't my friends at that point. They're my parents, the way it should have been. So I grabbed the phone and I called Dave, and it was hooked to the wall by a cord. But I strung it into the bedroom, and I said, they won't let me come. I can go play hockey. I can't stay at your house. And this is ridiculous, and I'm complaining. And here this unsaved friend, Dave, says, I wish my parents cared as much about me as your parents do about you. And I stopped and I was like, what? He said, they don't care where I'm at or what I'm doing. And they don't even know if I come home at night. I wish my parents cared as much about me as your parents do about you. And you know, I stopped. I quit complaining and I thought, you know what? I do have a lot to be thankful for. Because my parents were my parents. They controlled what they could control. And I can tell you, I knew Dave and I knew his parents and I knew I'd be in trouble over there. It was going to happen. My parents made the right call. Control what you can control, and remember, you're their parent, not their friend. You're there to guide and direct them, to make decisions for them when they can't make the right decision. Secondly, in application, time will go by quickly, so make the most of the time you have. And I see some moms nodding their head out there. I remember when our kids were little, and I thought, I cannot wait. First thing I couldn't wait for is to get out of diapers. Even though I didn't change many, I didn't like it. But then you want them to be more independent. You know, you're done with the car seats, and you're done with this, and then I can't wait till they can drive because I'm tired of driving them around, and then they get their license. Man, I wish they were in preschool. Because time just flies by so quick. And your time with them, and you still have some influence, but that it's waning, right? And it's gone. They're no longer in your home, and you no longer have that ability to make the decisions for them. And you see them make decisions, and you have to just sit back and watch the fallout from that decision. Make the most of the time that you have. You know, my kids are now from, I think, age 36 down to 28. Is that right? And where did the time go? And that time is gone. And yes, you still... Does parenting ever end? It doesn't. Parenting never ends, but it looks different. You know, my kids now oftentimes will call and ask for advice before I just gave it. And sometimes I still do. But it looks different, but that influence that you have, it changes. At some point, they're out from under your roof and they establish a home of their own. And so make the most of the time that you have. I look out here and I see some young families. Make the most of the time you have. Your golf score, how big a fish you catch, and climbing the corporate ladder, all these things. Your kids aren't going to remember how many Facebook friends you have. Take the time and invest in your kids. Make the most of the time you had. Moses' mom had 5 years. How many years do you have? Is there any guarantee? There is no guarantee. Make the most of the time that you have. You know, whether it's 5 years, whether it's 15, 18, time flies by, your window of opportunity is gone. Take the time. And then walk by faith and not by sight. As we saw that from Jochebed, she sought God's will and obeyed it. Pray for your children. I've shared this story as well, but my grandma Berg, my dad walked in. She lived in a mobile home right next to my dad. He banged on the door, and she can't hear. She's pretty much deaf. And he's banging. He opens the door. He yells, no answer. He's hoping she's not dead in her room somewhere, you know, in that. So he walks in, looks in her bedroom. She's on her knees by her bed. And she was in her 90s. And so he just grabbed a kitchen chair and he pulled up and he listened and watched. And he said it was about 45 minutes. And she's praying out loud for every kid and grandkid by name. And she got done praying, she could hardly stand up. And she stands up, and then she yelled at him because he scared her. "You're sneaking up on me!" But she prayed. And I think part of the reason I'm here and not in jail is because my grandma prayed. Pray for your kids. Walk by faith and not by sight. Pray for your kids. And then, you know, in Proverbs it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows old, he'll not depart from it. Are you praying for God's will for your kid? And then guiding and directing them in that? Are you living by example? So they can, in modeling what it is to be a godly woman or a godly child, a godly man. Moms, are you living that out in front of them? And so again, just the lessons from the life of Jochebed. Protect the best you can. Time goes by quickly. Make the most use of your time. And then walk by faith and not by sight. I do want to leave this with us as well. Not just a challenge for moms, but how many here are children? We all are, right? The memory verse. Are you guys catching the memory verse on the welcome slide now? Still not? Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Okay, obedience and honor. Does obedience end? There's a point in time where, okay, I moved out of my parents' house, established a house of my own. If my dad said, "You get up at 7 o'clock and be over here and mow my lawn," I didn't have to do that. Okay, so obedience might come to an end. Honor never comes to an end. We all need to honor our father and mother. A challenge to each one of us today is honor your mother. And you know, there may be people here, you might be sitting out there and maybe your mom wasn't very honorable. It's still a command, not an option. Honor your mother. How can you honor your mom maybe when she wasn't very honorable? You can call her and tell her you love her. You can call and thank her for life. She gave you life. You can call and thank her for certain traits that you have that she did invest in you. But that honor doesn't end. And maybe it's your speaking into her life that will change her, that she'll put her faith in Christ. And so a challenge for each one of us today, because obedience does end, but honor does not. So I'd encourage you today, if you still can, my mom's gone. This is the first Mother's Day I haven't been able to tell my mom Happy Mother's Day. But call your mom, go see her, and tell her Happy Mother's Day today. But again, the lesson for us, for moms today, protect the best you can, make the most of your time, and walk by faith and not by sight. I invite you to come up and grab a flower after. We're going to close in prayer. Do you have a closing hymn? Okay. So we'll have a closing hymn here in a minute. Father, thank you again just for our moms. Thank you for life, physical life, the nurture, the care. And so today, Lord, we honor our mothers. Thank you for giving them to us. Pray that we would honor our moms today. And so we just pray for each one as we go our separate ways, just for safety in our travels home and in the events of the day. May you be glorified in our activities, in our thoughts, our actions, our words. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.